I'm a life.
Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.
Live and local here on Supertalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on Supertalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
And welcome to the Tech Ranch, everybody. Have you ever won the Canadian lottery? Have you ever inherited a large sum from a Nigerian prince? Well, congratulations to you. You are part of a growing network of scams on the internet. And how are you backing up your data? What would you do if your computer hard drive crashed and you lost all your photos and important documents or whatever? Buddy Honrahan from Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana, will be chatting about internet scams, computer backups, and remote computer repair. And at the control panel this morning is producer extraordinaire Jim Walsh. Jim, how are you doing today?
Not too shabby.
So have you ever won anything?
I had a guy in South Africa who wanted me to help get Krugerrands out of the country.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't work out too well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it is becoming a growing problem, and they're becoming, you know, we all laugh about these things, of course, but it is an issue, and, you know, they'll send out millions and millions of emails saying that, you know, person has won something or whatever, hoping that one or two will respond. And of course, they're always looking for the person who's going to pay them a couple dollars to recover those millions of dollars that supposedly you have coming to you.
You would think people would know better by now.
Well, most people do.
Yeah.
You know, but the scams are getting more and more, they're just better all the time, you know. And, you know, we're going to be talking to Buddy a little bit about that and how you can basically. Uh-oh, I'm getting errors on my computer this morning already,
uh-oh.
Too. Yeah.
Error.
Not enough space. Oh, it's not enough space on my Dropbox. Speaking of backup stuff here. So there you go. Nothing too
well,
major.
Well, that means you're popular.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, we're going to bring Buddy on the line right away. Buddy, how are you doing this morning?
Good, Marlo. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Buddy, you are with Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana. How's the weather out there?
You know, not bad. Mid-40s, a little windy, kind of gray. But not in the 30s, like I heard you guys announce just a second ago.
Yeah, it's a little chilly here today, and but we're supposed to warm back up a little bit. So anyway, you have been in the computer business for a very long time. You and I have known each other for quite a few years, and I thought it'd be fun to have you on the show today, and we'll talk, you know, whatever you want to be talking about. But I'd really like to get your input. Let's start with the scam issues. What have you seen lately as far as scams go?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Marlo. Actually, have a customer still in your local area who called me a while back and said that her antivirus was not working correctly. She'd been on the phone with the antivirus company. I don't want to slander any names, so I'll be real careful here.
Sure.
And the person she was talking to, first off, didn't speak very good English. And in the process of the conversation, she gave the person remote control of her computer to look through and see why the antivirus wasn't working. And
yes.
He tried to sell her bigger, better, faster, stronger, and told her that she had 7 people that were attached to her computer that could see everything she was doing.
Okay.
Now, you talked a little bit about, you know, scams being more intricate, and this is one of them.
Yes.
Where they're just trying, you know, it's not really, you know, blind, but they're trying to sell you something that you may or may not need by telling you, well, I don't even want to say half-truths, by lying to you.
Yes.
And it's just crazy what we see out there. You know, the top 10 scams, when you go out and look, the Nigerian scam is number one.
Yep.
And I think probably once a month I get one of those between the 5 or 6 emails that I have.
You know, and I just want to stop you right there, buddy. Let's go back to this remote access issue. And I know you and I are going to talk about legitimate computer repair in a little while on the show, but this really is becoming a very, very big scam. People are, you know, you'll get a pop-up on your computer saying that your computer is infected with viruses, and there's a phone number that you can call, and it looks very official. And you'll call the phone number, and like you said, they're basically after your credit card, and they scare you. And just like what you're talking about, they'll tell you you have seven people that have access to your computer. You have thousands and thousands of Trojans on there, and they'll get your computer information, and they will do literally nothing to your computer.
Right. That's for sure. And, you know, it really pays to have a good local computer store, or at least someone that you know and can trust. I always try and get something in writing from my clients before, you know, we take off doing things. I do have, you know, and we'll talk about it more, the remote capability. There are a lot of remote things out there that are legitimate.
And very good services.
There's a lot of things out there, like you said, that are just purely scam. They come in, they lie to you. Hey, get your credit card number and run.
Yep. And generally, you know, they may be selling you a service for $40 or $50, but that will not be the charge that you find on your credit card later. I mean, it can be hundreds or thousands of dollars. This is actually happening on a daily occurrence in our computer shop. It is a very, very scary thing, and I need to warn people, and I'm sure you're warning your clients as well, that you need to be diligent. And you just, you know, if you get a pop-up that comes up on your computer, your advice is exactly correct. And talk to somebody you trust before you start clicking on things, because even though it looks legitimate, it's probably some type of scam that's going on.
That's for sure. That is for sure. The lottery scams, you've won, you know, $27,000 in some foreign lotto. Emails, unsolicited emails are just, you know, phishing and farming, which are two words that the public may not catch on to, but basically,
let's just talk about phishing for a second. And how do you spell that?
If you spell it with a PH instead of an F, but in my eyes, it kind of has a similar connotation to it. They're out there casting their lines, their emails, and fishing for somebody to bite.
Right. And they're basically fishing for information, correct?
Correct. They're looking for your credit card, your personal information, looking for you to click on a link that leads you to a quote-unquote bank, you know, Citibank or U.S. Bank or whatever, that actually doesn't really go there. They've just, well, and here comes the other word, farming with a PH. They've set this site up to replicate someone else's site, another legitimate business's site. You click on it, you click to it. Oh, it's safe. It may even be secure with the little padlock in the corner. And guess what? It's still not legitimate.
Yep. And I would say that even in the world of viruses, you know, there was a time where viruses were destructive. You know, their plan was to take down your computer. And those are still out there, of course, you know. But the number one thing with viruses now is that they're resident on your computer and you don't even know it. They're there hoping to capture your keys as your, you know, what's called key logging, of course, where they're capturing those keystrokes and that type of thing. And buddy, I think we're up against the clock already, so we'll continue our conversation after the break, everybody, and with this very, very interesting conversation about how you can save yourself from all this agony. So come on back, everybody.
You're listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Along with some areas of fire
at Guru of Geek or at www.thetechranch.com. Here again is your Guru of Geek, Marlo Anderson.
Onrahan, buddy, is the owner of Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thanks, Marlo.
All right, we were just talking a little bit about, we were probably scaring a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, you're right. And unfortunately, I need to plug one more scare.
Okay, that's okay. I think let's get all these scares out of the way first, and then we can talk about how a person can protect themselves from these things.
You bet. The biggest one that I have seen, and I've only seen it twice, which says something about how proliferant it is out there. It's not, everybody's not getting it, but there is one out there that looks just like an FBI warning. And this one is vicious. It is a denial of service type of infection. I won't say virus because it's really not. It's more in the malware category.
Right.
You can really lump all of that malware, spyware, virus stuff kind of into a category.
Sure.
But this one actually comes up, says something that you have been looking at on the internet is illegal, and until you pay us X amount of dollars by approved MoneyGram, you aren't going to be able to access your computer. And they're not lying. They actually do. It just does deny you the service of getting into your computer.
Yes. And
putting a MoneyGram dollar amount in doesn't unlock it.
That's correct.
And I'm sure you guys in your shop have seen it, because it's not something that a standard customer can do anything with. They have to bring it in and have us, there's a specific step-by-step to get rid of it.
Yes. And one of the things with this particular malware is that it preys on a person's fear. You know, you probably have not done anything illegal with your computer, but it's interesting how they have that. I mean, this warning comes up, you know, it's an FBI warning with an FBI logo on it. So that scares a person right away, of course. And then you're thinking about, well, what has my computer been doing that's illegal? So they're not even apt a lot of times to bring this into a computer shop or anything because they're afraid of what, you know, they're going to get reported or whatever. So they go ahead and do this MoneyGram thing because out of the fear of having other people know about what they've been doing or whatever, and they haven't done anything at all. If you have this thing pop up on your computer, you really, really need to get this into, you know, whoever your favorite computer person is.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
So,
and, you know, this in machine that I looked at was completely protected. It had a legitimate antivirus. It had some anti-spyware programs on it. They hadn't been run for a while. And, you know, it can bypass even legitimate good protection. Things can get by them.
Yep. So, well, of course, if you get a pop-up on your computer or whatever, a lot of times these pop-ups look very, very valid. So a person okays them. You know, you go to a website or whatever, you get this little pop-up and thinking you need to do something to, you know, look at if you're buying something or whatever, get this little pop-up on there. And it actually is infecting your computer, and it doesn't matter how good your antivirus is. If you actually give something the okay, your antivirus isn't going to stop it at that point.
Exactly, and there are a few out there that you'll hit a website, and the website is legitimate, but it has been infected.
That's correct, yes.
And it'll download stuff in the background. You'll never see it. You'll shut your computer off that night, go to bed, get up in the morning, turn it on, and your computer comes up infected.
Yep.
And with that restart, it embeds it very, very deeply into the operating system, and it takes a lot of work to get it out of there. I would say a professional, but that's, you know, that's a kind of a great term.
Yes. Well, let's move on away from scaring people. The first thing that you can do, I think we've scared a lot of people here, buddy.
Well, let's stop doing that. Halloween's over.
That's right.
And I'm glad this is radio, or we'd be scaring them even worse.
Yes. It is, you know, I think, you know, you have to look at it this way. The criminals are out there. They're going to, you know, use whatever means they can to take your money away from you. You know, the scene of crime has changed over the years. You know, I they talk a lot about burglaries being down and that type of thing. I think simply because the internet gives people more of an animosity to do these type of things, and you just have to be really diligent. You know, when you're on your computer, don't click on things that you think, you know, even if something pops up and it looks somewhat legitimate, you know, even if you just go ask your kids, you know, if you're unsure, you know, a lot of times the youth of our country know a lot about computers that maybe you and I don't know. Yes, I'm, you know, aging you a little bit there, buddy. But but it, you know, sometimes just getting another opinion before you click on something, you know, and if you're unsure at all, just turn your computer off. I mean, just literally turn it off, because a lot of times they'll have the okay or the yes and no button on your, you know, in that window, that box that pops up or whatever. If you click no, it's the whole thing is a yes graphic. Even if you click the X that's in that graphic, it'll still think that you just okayed it. The whole thing is a yes button. So you're better off, if you don't know how to do an alt control delete or whatever to get rid of it, just turn your computer off, turn it back on, and hopefully that pop-up won't appear again.
That's for sure.
Okay. So,
have we scared them enough?
Yeah, I think so. All right. So how do you protect yourself? What's the best way to protect yourself from all of this?
Boy. I think for me, and the advice I give to my customers, is if it looks too good to be true, it's too good to be true.
Yep.
There's a common sense line that really falls into it, unfortunately. As far as the computer goes, the hardware, the software, a good antivirus and some good spyware, malware protection, whether it's free stuff that you have to force to run or stuff that you've paid for that runs all the time. You know, there's lots of good brands and everything out there. I don't need to plug a specific one, but, you know, finding, if you don't know what you're doing, finding a geek who does, and having them help you out, get you set up with something that's safe and keeping it current.
And you just hit on exactly where I was going to go. Keeping it current. I mean, I think it's very important. In fact, one of the things that I do at the end of my work day is I'll just go into my antivirus and click the update feature just to bring it up to date with the latest antivirus definitions, because there's always a window of opportunity for viruses. And, you know, a virus comes out or a spyware or whatever, and, you know, there might be 12 hours, there might be 24 hours, whatever it is, before the antivirus people can stop that virus from coming into your computer. So it is very, very important to update your antivirus definitions as often as possible.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
All right. Any other words of wisdom to protect a person's identity, their credit cards, or anything else from viruses?
Well, the credit card thing always sits home with me. Never give your credit card unless you know where it's going. I mean, if you're navigating to a site and buying something and putting your credit card information on there, you know, you're buying something from a clothing store to have it shipped to you, say, that is 99% of the time going to be secure. It's just as dangerous for the store on the other end to be insecure as it is for you.
In fact, it's illegal for them to be insecure.
There you go. This is true. So if something pops up and asks you for your credit card number, then you got to think, okay, why are you asking?
Yep. Yeah, if you instigate the transaction, you're generally okay. If somebody else is asking you for the credit card number, you know, whether they're remoting into your computer to fix it or whatever, I'll tell you what, if they're asking you for a credit card number, you better have, you know, both of your red flags going up at that time, because I would never, ever give out a credit card number. I mean, just like if somebody were to call you on the phone for credit card information, you would never do that as well. So the internet is exactly the same situation.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And another thing that, you know, a lot of people are still concerned that, you know, I don't want to put a credit card number out there because it could get stolen and, you know, identity theft. I'm going to be responsible for all of this money. My advice there is find a local bank that has a credit card option, put a low limit on it. Use that as your internet purchasing card, and even if something does happen to it, it's got a low limit. You know, look at their policies on theft and see how much you're going to be responsible for. always good advice.
Yep.
With any credit card, not just when you're dealing with the internet. But
the other thing is, you know, legitimate companies will post their phone numbers and that type of thing on their website. If you're unsure, call them. You know, it doesn't hurt. You get a pretty good feeling. We have people that call us all the time, and we recommend that to people. If they're purchasing something on our website, if they feel a little insecure about something, just call us, and, you know, we can take the order over the phone for them. You know, whatever it is, you don't have to just, you know, put your credit card out there if you don't want to. I mean, if you feel insecure about it, there's probably a reason why you do.
And, you know, I make voice contact with every client that I deal with, whether it's face-to-face or on the phone. I don't do my, you know, I have the remote
repair capability.
Buddy,
we're going to have to stop you right there.
I don't do that unless I've made voice contact with them and I know who they are.
All right. We got to go to a break. So after the break, everybody, come on back. We'll continue this conversation about how to protect yourself from viruses. Come on back, everybody.
Free.
You're listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Democrats, that Obama!
And what about that Hillary?
Had your fill of that guy? Give us a try. Accurate news, stimulating talk, Supertalk 1270 AM and supertalk1270.com.
Guys across the area, allow us some area.
1270.com. Here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Thanks, Mia. We're back with the Tech Ranch, everybody. And on the phone with us today is Buddy Honrahan. Buddy is the owner of Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana. And Buddy and I have been doing a very good job of scaring people today. So welcome back to the show, Buddy.
Thanks, Marlo. Yeah, we don't really want to, you know, overdo it with the scaring.
We should have actually did this, you know, we should have done this show before Halloween. That'd have been very appropriate, I think, but our own take on how to scare people. Yes. Anyway, we were talking about how, you know, all these viruses and scams and things that are out there to take people's money and ways you can protect yourself. And I think the last thing we're talking about is making sure that you update your virus protection. And that's probably the best thing you can do.
Absolutely, you know, that and asking your friends, networking with the people you know who have computers, finding a good computer repair shop, somebody that they trust. There's a lot of options out there when it comes to, you know, you get an infection, what do you do? Well, do you click on the pop-up that comes up because that's the most convenient?
Yep.
So I did a quick search while we were at commercial there. Remote computer repair. I got 14.8 million hits.
Oh my!
Yeah, you can't even scratch the surface of that.
Yep, and the odds are pretty good that a lot of those are some type of scam.
It's very, very possible. I look for ones with phone numbers so I can talk to a human being. Of course, the best thing to do is to know someone or have a local shop.
Yep, and I don't think we can recommend that enough. I mean, having somebody that you can locally talk to is certainly spades better than anything else you can do. I wouldn't have to say local, but you know, just know somebody that you trust to talk to about these things. Because
right.
If something pops up on your computer, you need to have the ability to call somebody and just ask them before you start doing something with your computer. Because if you click OK, you've probably opened up a whole nother world of issues that you...
then you're definitely going to need to talk to someone.
That's exactly right. So you're going to talk to somebody before or after the fact.
You know, I worked in North Dakota for well over 10 years and had my own business there doing the same thing that I'm doing here. And I still get calls on a daily basis from my clients in North Dakota. I still maintain clients in North Dakota.
Sure.
Do it long distance.
And you're doing remote computer services that way, you know. But they trust you. You have a relationship with them. And that's what we're talking about here, is a person has to have a relationship with those people.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's move on. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about backup as well.
Yeah.
And this is a, you know, kind of similar. You know, I mean, we're not talking about taking money out of people's wallets here, you know, by some type of scam or whatever, but this is just as scary. I mean, if you were to lose the data you have on your hard drive, on your computer, or on your phone, or wherever you're storing your information, what are you going to do? And I think you need to have a plan to capture or recapture that data. So what are your opinions on that?
I agree. It's critical to do backup. My machine, which is my personal and business machine, backs up every day. I get a report from it from my program every day that it's been backed up.
Are you doing some type of remote backup? Are you doing?
I am. I'm backing up. Well, let's use a term here that may confuse a couple of people, but we'll have to explain it out. I'm backing up to the cloud.
Okay.
And in my case, it's a program that backs up to a centralized server somewhere in the United States and then duplicates itself to a second location.
So you're doing what we refer to as off-premise backup.
Yeah, and it's also, the program that I use has an option in it to do it locally. So I have a local hard drive that does the same thing every day. Keeps itself current. It doesn't back up everything every day. It only backs up what I changed.
Right.
There's a plethora of options out there. The important thing is, well, I guess I could think of two important things. Be sure that it's a legitimate company. By that, you need to read that disclaimer that you have to click on to purchase it. And you need to look for the word intellectual property.
Okay.
And we're digging kind of deep here, but there's a reason. Some backup programs or sites or however they do it, actually, when you back your data up to their server, you still have access to that data, but the data on the server becomes their intellectual property, which means they actually own it.
So you want to make sure that if you are using somebody's service that you own your property.
You maintain ownership of the intellectual property, absolutely. And with that comes, you know, security and encryption of that. Because I really don't care if people look through my stuff because they're really not going to see much of any importance to anybody. But it makes me a little uncomfortable. It's like somebody standing over my shoulder.
Sure. And there are a lot of companies, of course, and even yourself. I mean, you know, you may have tax records, medical records, whatever, that you're not wanting to have, you know, out there in the general public. So this is interesting. I did not know this, buddy. So let's talk a little bit more about this intellectual property thing. I mean, when you are buying a service that will back your stuff up online, you need to really make sure that, you know, are you talking about this would be in the end user licensing agreement, that the intellectual property statement, or where would you find that?
Should be. It should be in the user agreement or in the fine print of how the program operates.
But this would actually be a fine print thing. You know, I know a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this too, I'll just click OK on the end user licensing agreement, or EULA as it's usually referred to.
I very rarely read them. Yep. I'll be totally honest as well.
Yep. And but it's a matter of trust. I maybe already trust the company that I'm okaying that with. But this would be a circumstance where maybe you need to read this.
Right.
Interesting. So the program that you're using now allows you to back up on-site and off-site to the cloud.
Correct.
At the same time.
At the same time, scheduled. I can schedule them to do it, you know, in daily, weekly, monthly intervals. I can tell it to do it when the machine is quiet. So if it's doing a backup and I come and roll the mouse, it stops doing the backup so it doesn't use resources. Keeps my computer fast,
yep,
but still gets my stuff synchronized in real time. And there is a lot of good programs out there, a lot of good companies. And when you do a search for them, you'll find that the majority of them are legitimate. I think the intellectual property thing is important, but not necessarily as proliferant as it used to be.
Okay.
I think they've you know, in order to offer services like this, they're really having to say, okay, we don't own this stuff.
Well, we're not against recommending.
Remember, even with offsite backup,
we're not against recommending programs, buddy. So we'll after the break here, we will actually talk about. I have some programs that I like to use, and I'm just going to recommend those. And I think if you want to do that as well, that would be great. So after the break, everybody, we will continue the conversation with Buddy Honorhan about backing up your important computer stuff. Come on back, everybody.
It's the biggest sewing sale of the year. It's the truckload sewing sale going on now at J&R Vacuum and Sewing. All Pfaff and Brothers sewing machines and sergers are on sale at up to 50% off. Plus, there's no interest financing for up to 48 months. Get a new Singer sewing machine with free owner lessons for just $99. The easy-to-use Pfaff Hobby 1122 sewing machine is just $229. That's $170 off. All sewing cabinets are on sale, too.
Wow, the truckload sewing sale at J&R really does have the best sewing and embroidery machine deals of the year.
Quilters love the new Pfaff Ambition. $999 value, now just $599.
Don't forget, at J&R, there's always free owner lessons with each sewing machine sale.
All Brother sewing and embroidery machines are on sale, too. Get a computerized Brother Project Runway sewing machine. A $369 value, now just $299.
Free owner's lessons, up to 48 months, no interest financing. The truckload sewing sale at J&R Vacuum and Sewing, 3rd and Main, Bismarck. Sale ends Saturday.
Catch this and other podcasts of Supertalk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com.
Comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join the conversation.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Tech Ranch. Buddy Honorhan with Concierge Computer Services in White Sulphur Springs, Montana, is our guest, and we've done a good job of scaring people about their identities and getting rid of some money to crooks and all that good stuff. And now we're talking about backing up your services. And Buddy, I use a couple of things. I use Carbonite. Have you used Carbonite at all?
I have. I've played with it a little bit. Went through the 15-day trial, like their service, excellent service.
I think one of the things that's an issue with Carbonite, and I agree with you, by the way, I think Carbonite is an excellent service, and I think it runs about $50 or $60 a year to back up your computer. I do believe they have plans for businesses, although I think you and I are going to talk about better options for businesses in a second. But the thing that I think is an issue with Carbonite is that it's a little bit more hands-on. They don't back up your entire computer. They don't make a clone of your hard drive. And for some people, you know, that is an issue because if your computer goes down because of a hard drive crash, in my opinion anyway, it's really nice that if you can just take the hard drive that you're backing up to, make a clone of that one, and just insert it right back into your computer.
Right. Yeah, that's important. I don't know if that's how important that is to the everyday user, I know, but as a geek myself, that's important for me because
right.
Every minute my computer's down is a minute I'm not working.
Exactly. So, but you're right. I think for the everyday user, making sure that you're backing up your docs and your photos and your videos and that type of thing, things that are important to you, Carbonite does a wonderful job with that.
Does Carbonite, I don't remember, it's been a while, does Carbonite go through and search and tell you?
It does. It actually makes recommendations, but one of the issues, of course, is that it has it looks at where you would normally store your stuff. So if you're like me, I always create new folders for my stuff, and you would have to actually tell it that you want to have those particular folders backed up.
Right. So, right. Yeah, and I use SOS, the SOS online backup.
I'm not familiar with that, so why don't you talk about that a little bit?
It's basically the same as you're discussing, you know, with Carbonite. I went with SOS and bought in as a reseller, actually bought some space on the cloud, if
okay.
you will, so
yep.
I could resell it to customers.
Yep.
And it works out awesome. They have a mobile app. I can share my files from my backup. I can email you a link to it, and you can go look at it in the backup. It's password protected. If I forget the password, the online support can get me back to the ability to get into it. I won't say they'll give me my password because that isn't the truth. They don't have access to that either. They also have an option for people who just absolutely do not want anyone to access their data except themselves.
Sure.
That they encrypt the password. And if you lose your password, you lose your data.
Which is kind of scary in itself, because I lose passwords all the time.
Yeah, it's not an option for me either, because without writing them down, which is a no-no in itself.
Right.
I lose mine all the time. I can't remember which one I used.
Yeah, it is an ongoing problem. You and I are going to have a... We should do another show sometime on passwords, because that is becoming a big issue.
Let me do some research on that one before we,
we do it. Yes. One of the things that I use is a program called Crash Plan. Have you used Crash Plan at all?
I haven't. I do see it on the list here, though.
Yeah, it is very, very cool. It has two options to it. First of all, they have a cloud services similar to Carbonite. So if you want to just do that, you can. What I do is I use it for on and off premise backup. And what it does is you create an account, and then you have, let's say you have a computer at home and one at work, okay? At my home computer, I put an external hard drive on that, and then I sync that or link that to my Crash Plan software. And then at work, it'll back up my work computer to my home computer on that external.
Oh, cool.
It is very cool. And, of course, it actually does a clone of your hard drive as well. So like what we were talking about earlier, you can move your entire hard drive over. And then on a daily basis, after it's done that the first time, it will just do the incremental updates that it needs to do. But I have mine set to do this at 2 o'clock every morning. So from my work, I back up my computer to my home. And from home, I back it right back up to work. So I have a working copy of both of those computers at any time, which I think is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, that's incredible. One thing I guess we should maybe plug here a little bit is you're going to want to make sure that you have some sort of a high-speed connection before you invest in an online or cloud-style backup.
Yes. Yeah, you would never want to do this with some type of dial-up service, that's for sure.
Yeah, dial-up would make this very miserable. Yep.
So, you know, in-house or, you know, on-site, have you used any of the new wireless hard drives?
I have not. I think it's, the wireless NAS or network-attached storage. I think it's a great way to go, though, partially because the physical location of that, your server room isn't necessarily going to be impervious to the building self-destructing or, you know, going up in flames.
Right.
But with a wireless device or even a wired device, you may be able to stick some storage where you can do your backups into a fireproof container.
And I think one of the things, that's an interesting idea, by the way, one of the things about a NAS that you're talking, again, network area storage, is that this is a great business solution. You know, we can talk about NAS for at home, too, which is great for at home. But if you're going to back up, many computers at one time, network area storage is probably the best way to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I've played on-site. I've got a few businesses, and they're starting now, like with the server options, are starting to have a removable hard drive option, and it's a serial ATA drive, just like you would put in your laptop, basically. Only in a removable cartridge that goes into what used to be a tape drive.
Okay.
And they are extremely speedy. The backups, you know, because it's a physical connection. It's right there in the computer. It treats it just like a hard drive, does its backup to it, and then pops it out for you to carry off-site.
Okay. Let's go back to the network area storage just for a second, because I think that's something that a lot of people would probably use, and they are rather easy to use. When you purchase one, it usually comes with some software, and you install that software on all the computers you want to back up, and again, it'll just incrementally back up your data on a daily basis, or however often you want that to happen. To that device, and you can have, if you get a large enough hard drive, of course, usually these are sold in 2 or 3 terabytes now, you can actually back up many, many computers on these.
For sure. Yeah, and your cloning option as well, which does take a little space, going to be very quick over your internal network, because, you know, most of your internal networks are running at least 100 megabits per second, so it's super speedy.
Exactly.
Between machines and between network storage.
Okay. And of course, you know, even I always pick on jump drives a little bit. You know, I carry one around my neck almost all the time. In fact, I do not have mine on today. That's unusual. But usually, I have a story about that sometime I'll have to share with you, too. But even that can be used as a nice little backup tool. I would not... I would use it as a third backup, you know, like if you're backing up like a QuickBooks or something like that, or your photos or whatever. Jump drives are nice for that, but they're not the most reliable, are they?
They aren't, you know, the physical size, they're easy to lose. Most of them will make it through the washing machine once, but not more than once.
You sound like you have personal experience with that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't check my pockets. I just drill them in if they're dirty. So,
that's pretty hilarious.
I have washed a few. I do have a couple that, you know, there's some tools to get that off of those. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's just like any crash.
Right.
You're taking a chance.
And, of course, there are tools that many of us use. We talk about Google Drive a lot, SkyDrive, of course, Dropbox. Those are all nice places to maybe use for backup storage as well, and especially those documents and maybe those photos that a person may want to access from different devices. That's generally what we use those type of programs for. But it can be used as another way to back up things as well, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. I like Dropbox, just to pick on that one a little bit, because I use it from my Android phone. When I take a picture on my Android phone and I want to share it to my computer, I just open up Dropbox and just drop it over, yeah. And it syncs to Dropbox, and I can walk to my PC, and it's right there.
And we're running up against the clock here, buddy, but why don't you explain real quick what Dropbox is?
Dropbox is, it's an online network storage. It is secure. It's shared folders, basically just like having extra folders on your computer, only the storage space is somewhere else. And you can use your space privately, or you can share with others, and they sign up, and you get a little more space, and you can buy space. And it's just a neat little tool to have for some online storage and sharing.
And the wonderful thing is it's free.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And,
so.
And the more you share, the more you get up to a certain point, and then you have to start buying more.
Well, buddy, it's been great having you on the show today. We'll be blogging about this after on thetechcrunch.com, everybody, and I'm sure Buddy's going to be blogging about it as well. So, again, Buddy, we really appreciate you having me on the show today.
Hey, I appreciate the time, and anytime you run short and need somebody to just chatter and go on, I'm your man.
All right, we will do that. All right, everybody, we'll be back at the same bat time, same back channel next week. Come on back, everybody.
Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on SuperTalk1270.com.
The White House is still...